If you could turn to John chapter 13, you don't have to stand quite yet. As always, it is a privilege to be here. I'm so glad that I'm with friends. You know, as I was studying this passage, John 13, I started reflecting the fact of the church that I'm attending. I started thinking about you. And I started thinking about, I feel blessed to have our family here. I'm not just saying that. It is a privilege to be with a church that truly loves God, that truly has a desire to please God. And the spirit in this church, I'm telling you, it's phenomenal. I've been to several churches in my life, and I'm just saying, I'm not just trying to build this up, but this is a great church that has a good spirit, and I praise God for it. It's a serving church. You know, and I really don't take that for granted, to be a part of this church as we get to serve our Lord. I mean, we have different activity or different things that goes on in this church, and I know you're aware of it, but you think of the activity that goes on in the church. We have a bus ministry, or we have a soul winning ministry Tuesdays and Saturdays. Our pastor is very diligent of going door knocking even during the week. We have a jail ministry, if we could get back in there. We have a nursing home ministry. These are great things. And listen, it is a privilege to see this church serve. And I don't want to ever take that for granted. But tonight I'm going to preach on a message that's real basic, and you're already doing it. But, you know, as I was looking at John 13, I was reminded that the disciples, for a little over three years, they were serving right alongside of Jesus Christ. Amen. They were very active, very busy. And before, 24 hours before Jesus was going to go to the cross, he thought it was important to teach him this lesson about being a servant. And so tonight, this is not just to tear us down, but to be encouraged about what we're doing and be encouraged in the fact that, yes, it pleased God, but there is a purpose. We have a purpose why we are here serving and trying to be a witness in this lost and dying world. So let's stand, please, and let's look at John 13. And, you know, I debated if I should read 17 verses. I'm not going to go through every verse, but as in when I preach, but I think it's important to look at this. It really kind of lays it out pretty good, John 13. But let's read it as a church here, or I'll read it. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And I just want to say this because I'm not going to say much about Judas. He had a choice, okay? It wasn't like he didn't have a choice. He chose to allow Satan to fill his heart. He didn't believe. He chose not to believe. And then go into verse 3. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus says to him, He that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye not what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Wow, what a chapter. I want to title this message, Being Challenged to Serve from the Greatest Servant of All. Being challenged to serve from the greatest servant of all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you so much. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help me. Holy Spirit, I pray you move upon my life and just give me words to say that you would want me to say, that I won't get in the way. Thank you so much for your Son who came down and died for us. Thank you for the greatest example that he has given us to follow and to learn from. And I pray that you would get myself out of the way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there's great examples in the Bible to look to about serving. Over 500 times the Bible talks about serving. I mean, it's all through the Word of God. It's rich, and you can learn about Moses, the great, a servant of God. You can learn how his whole life was dedicated for God, but he served Israel. I mean, his whole life was a ministry. David, isn't that true? His whole life. You think of Joshua serving under Moses. Faithful servant, and then he became a servant. I mean, you look at these men and their whole life was nothing but service. And then you just go through the Word of God and you see men and women that dedicated their life of serving God, but it was all about serving people. And even people, in Hebrews, I get goosebumps when I read toward the end how people end up dying. They were sawed asunder, but their faith was strong, but they were serving. They were getting out the gospel. The gospel was pushed, and praise God for these examples of service. But the greatest example I think that we can learn from is our Lord Jesus Christ. When I look at Philippians 2, I thought about going there, but I just want to bring out three things that Paul brings out. He brings out that Jesus Christ was a obedient, humbled servant. Obedient, humbled servant. I don't think that we really think much about that, how our Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, humbled Himself. I mean, truly humbled Himself for you and I. And the fact that he took a form of a servant. Now, I like that word form. He took the form of God, form of a servant. That just means that's who he is. That form is unchangeable. Jesus Christ was God. That's his form. He was a servant. That's his form. He's still serving us today. Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding on our behalf. Hey, Jesus is still serving today through his precious word. He is a servant, and I'm telling you, we need to learn how to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. And John 13 gives us three principles I believe is important to learn from the greatest servant of all. Now, if you go to Mark, you don't have to turn to Mark, but if you read Mark, I'm telling you, that book is filled with Jesus Christ serving. That whole chapter is about service. And in Mark, Jesus says this, I never came to be ministered to, but I came to minister, to become a ransom for many. Now, Jesus Christ as a servant, here he is now in John 13, and he's feeling the weight, the pressure. Matter of fact, in verse 1 it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father." And I'm going to tell you, he knew what's about ready to happen. Matter of fact, he anticipated this day. Three different times in John, it talks about that Jesus is mentioned that it wasn't his hour. But then in John 12, Jesus kind of brings it out. Hey, it's time for me to go to the Father. And it even says he's troubled in his spirit, because I'm telling you, the weight of what he's about ready to experience is pretty a strong weight. He's carrying the whole world on his shoulder. But in John 13, I'm telling you right now, all he could think of is teaching his disciples this idea of service. He knows what he's going to go through. He knows the pain he's going to feel. He knows that Judas has already made arrangements of turning him in. He knows that Peter and the others are going to deny him, and still, all he's concerned about is teaching his disciples some great truths. Matter of fact, in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, all he's doing is preparing his disciples so they can take his place and they can start serving. But he starts all that truth with one simple truth, and that is he started it all with being a servant. And he doesn't even say anything at first. He starts with an object lesson. Now, I think it's so important, and my mouth is getting dry for some reason. I just want to give three simple principles of Jesus Christ being the greatest servant of all. He's our greatest example, so I want to look at first from verses 1 through 3, just real quickly, the heart of the servant. And then I want to look at the example of the servant, and then I want to look at the challenge. And so just knowing that the time was about ready to end, it shows something right here in verse 1. It says this, I want to show you the heart of the servant. At the end, it really shows the heart by this phrase here, or this, what it says. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved his own. The heart of a servant is a fact of true love. True love. Our Lord Jesus Christ here is trying to teach his disciples, and he loved his own. And I want you to be encouraged in the fact that that as he loved his own, you can count yourself right there as well. He loved you. And this fact that he loved us is supposed to motivate us to carry that love in our service. Matter of fact, it says in John 13, in the same chapter, in 34 and 35, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." You know, the whole basis about serving, you got to make sure you have true love. You should not serve to keep it as a stepping stone or trying to make you look good. Our service needs to be done with that kind of love, that true dedicated love that our Lord had for his own. Now, he did have love for the world. It's not taking John 3:16 and throwing it to the side, but his love for his own is the fact that he's loving his disciples to teach them this very principle that you got to serve with this kind of love. And so I want to challenge our church here that when we serve, we got to make sure that our heart is filled with true, devotion, love. I'm talking about a love that don't quit. I'm talking about a love that's pure, just like John, 1 Corinthians 13. A love that's not selfish, a love that's patient, a love that's kind, a love that's pure. And that's exactly what our Lord did as a servant. He loved, and he loved to the end. You know, he could have, verse 3, it says this. It says that Jesus, knowing that his Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. You know, the fact that he knew that God's given him all power, and I do believe that he could have called 10,000 angels to take him off the cross, but because of his love, he stays faithful. He stays faithful to the end, and I'm telling you right now, I wonder if when we serve, do we serve with true love in a way that you want to change somebody's life? The problem is that I see with a lot of churches today that and I'm not trying to be picky, but I've seen a lot of churches that truly, when you see them, they don't seem like they have excitement that they're saved and that they have true love for people. They, matter of fact, a lot of people just want to stick to themselves and not show the love of Christ, and it shouldn't be that way. So the first principle of a servant is the fact that he had true love. It says this in John 15. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. In verse 10, it says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In verse 12, it says, and this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So our purpose as a servant is we got to make sure that we want to be obedient to God, and we want to love with all our hearts and soul and mind, and not just God, but it's loving the world. Without that love, really, who's going to reach him? Who's really going to care for the people that are dying and going to hell? You know, I love this church and the fact that it does go door knocking, and that because we go door knocking, I believe it's an act of service of love. I really do. I believe that we truly care for souls, and that's how it needs to be. So the second thing I want to talk about is the example that the servant, that Jesus Christ gave us. Here in verses from 5 all the way down to, I believe, 12, it deals with Jesus Christ giving an example of this fact of being a servant. As a servant, it should be of love, and now he's going to give an example. This foot washing was not an ordinance, but it was an example. In John 13:15, it says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Back then, it was the slave who washed the feet of visitors. That was a common practice, that they would have the lowest servant wash the feet. If there was no servant, then the first ones there was to provide the feet washing. Now, I want you to notice that at this time, they went to Jesus and they said, where we're going to have the Passover meal. And Jesus sent two of his disciples to prepare the room for the Passover meal. In Mark 14:13, this is what he says. And he sends forth two of his disciples and says unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. They had everything prepared in that room. The food was there. I believe the pitcher of water was there. The bucket was there. The towel was there. But no one was willing to wash the feet. They had everything that they needed. Now I'm telling you, especially for the feast of the Passover, wouldn't you think that they would wash their feet for that? Don't you think that there would be, you know, they say there's, you know, because they had open sandals, you know, they didn't have socks for two reasons, because it didn't look good with them. Plus they didn't bend them at that time. But they, you know, commentaries and people say that the reason why they would wash feet because of the dust and the dirt and the smell. And so, but here they are, they come into this room. There is no feet being washed. And I really believe it's because they were too busy arguing who was the greatest. In Luke 22:24, at the same time, you know, from a different writer, he says this, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. So here they were at this meal, and all they're doing is thinking about, or talking and arguing who's going to be the greatest. They're not even thinking about washing the feet. And I think it's important because I'm going to show you here in a minute, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of people think that because you have things, that makes you great. You know, the world has a different view of greatness. It blows my mind. But if you would go and if you would ask someone from Wall Street, what do you think greatness is? And they'll say probably money. If you ask somebody from Hollywood what greatness is, then they'll say, well, fame and having attraction. If you know all the, if you just ask, you know, the, you ask anybody in this world, you know, if you have houses or if you have money. But greatness really is not what you have, it's who you serve. And that's what God is saying. If we would consider our service and serving other people, God would consider you great. And so Jesus, he gets up from the table. And matter of fact, in Luke, it does say this, to response to what they were saying. This is what he says, excuse me. He does say this in Luke 22:25-27. He says, as they were arguing who's going to be the greatest, he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is great among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he serveth. So Jesus is saying, listen, greatness is not what you have, it's what you serve. And Jesus gets up and he starts doing something that really gave him a shock factor. He gets up and it says in verse 4, he rises from supper, he laid aside his garments and took a towel, and he girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel. Therewith he was girded. So he gets up and he starts doing this act of a servant, of a bond slave. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, Jesus Christ was making an example of what we need to be doing, and that is that we need to serve. Jesus Christ himself gets up and he starts serving. And I don't think that we take this, you know, take it seriously maybe in the fact that our service needs to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, matter of fact, I have this written down and I there's a parallel. When I look at this, what Jesus Christ did to them in serving them, I look at a parallel in Philippians, and this is what I see here. Jesus rises from supper, just like he rose from his throne in heaven. Jesus laid aside his garment, taking off his covering, just like he laid aside his glory, taking off his heavenly covering. And Philippians 2:7 says, but made himself no reputation. Jesus took a towel and girded himself, being ready to work. And Jesus took the form of a servant and came ready to minister to serve. Jesus poureth water into the basin, just like he poured out his blood to cleanse us from the guilt and penalty of sin. He washes the disciples' feet just as he desires to cleanse his children so we can be effective in our service. Jesus was the greatest leader to ever live. Why? Because Jesus knew that true leadership was servantship. And that's what he did for us. He was washing their feet. He was showing an example what we need to be doing. And he did it, even an example in the fact that he left heaven and left his throne. And I guess the reason why I think this message is important, because our service to this lost and dying world is so important. And we are already serving, but we got to realize that we got to keep on being faithful and be encouraged. Because what Christ did for us is what we need to do and show it to a lost and dying world. Amen? Somebody help me. But then he gets to Peter. And Peter has a knee-jerk reaction. And Peter is not seeing that example. I think the Lord wanted them to see this humble position, and Peter is saying, whoa, now you're not going to wash my feet. And I'm going to tell you, you know, when Peter did that knee-jerk reaction, let's look at it real quick. Then comes to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And I can't understand that, because if Jesus was going to do that to me, maybe I would have done the same thing. Why are you washing my feet? But Jesus says this, he answered and he said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now, that should have been good enough for Peter, don't you think? But this is what Peter said. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And then Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed indeed is not saved to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now, listen, some people think that they're saying that Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you have no part with me, that, hey, you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what the Lord is saying. I'm telling you right now, Jesus was trying to teach this idea of being a servant, and Peter wasn't getting it, and he was trying to deny the Lord, trying to deny that teaching. And Jesus said, if you don't allow me to do this, you can't have no fellowship with me, is what he's saying. And I'm going to tell you, the church, we got to receive what the Lord is trying to teach in this area of being a servant. And I'm telling you that we need to be willing to receive it and never be prideful not to receive it. It's important that we understand the principle. He's also teaching a principle. Listen, you can't lose your salvation, but your feet are going to get dirty. And in this life, you need to be willing to receive cleansing from our Lord. And even today, when we come here as servants trying to get a mandate from our Lord, we need to be willing to hear, as the Lord is serving us with his word, to be willing to be cleansed and clean. But they at first he wasn't receiving it. So Jesus put him in his place. And then he finishes washing their feet. And I find that very interesting. You know, the fact of being a servant and being a leader. You know, I heard this of David Thomas, the founder of Wendy's Hamburger. He says there is a degree that every effective leader must have, and every effective leader does have it if he is effective. What is it? Dave Thomas said it is the MBA degree. Has anybody heard of that MBA degree? It is a mop bucket attitude. Mop bucket attitude. And I'm going to tell you right now, just the fact of what our Lord did to us should drive us, with that love that He showed us, should drive us to be willing to serve other people. And so then when Jesus gets done, He gives them a challenge. And I want to look at this, and I'm winding down, and it said, so after He had washed their feet and had taken His garments and was set down again, He said unto them, know ye what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you should also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. This is now a challenge that the greatest servant is giving to his church and giving to his people. First of all, the servant, we see the servant's heart, and the servant's heart is full of love. Then we see the example of the servant, how he gets up and how he washes their dirty feet. And I'm telling you, I guarantee you, it was the best foot washing that anyone has ever had. I believe he was getting into the crevices, he was cleaning them, and then he takes the towel and he finishes the job, amen. Just like he did on the cross when he said it is finished. Our Lord is the greatest example. Now He is trying to challenge them. You know, when we get challenged, I'm telling you what that means is it's just you're getting pricked in your heart. And I'm going to tell you, as they're standing there, and I just can imagine what they're thinking. I can't believe Jesus Christ, the one who walked on water, the one who has healed people, the one that is the great I am. They've seen Him in His glory, and He's washing our feet. When we read it, does He even do anything to us anymore? But now He's challenging, and He's saying this. He's saying, you call me Master. You call me Rabbi. You call me Lord. You say, I'm the Lord of your life. And you say, well. That's the right way of thinking. He is our Master, and He is our Lord. Amen? He's saying, you do well. But is a servant greater than his master? And the answer would be, no. And Jesus is saying, if I'm your master, and if I'm your Lord, and if I wash your feet, then you need to wash one another's feet. And I'm going to tell you, He's saying, you've been served. Now what are you going to do with it? You've been served. I served you. Now you need to do something with it. And I'm going to ask the church, are we, though we serve, is our form like Jesus' form of a servant? Is it just do we mark, hey, I just got done doing the nursery. No, I'm not going to do it anymore. I don't think it is that way. But can it get that way? Sure it can. Can people get to in the flesh? Can people get to a place where they say, man, I am tired. I don't want to serve anymore because it's just too much. Can it get that way? Yes, it can. And it should not get that way, church. We should not lose our desire to serve our Father and serving one another. And we need to be challenged in this area of consistency and stay motivated in our serving. He's not talking about foot washing ordinance. I believe if it was, it would be all through the New Testament. Don't you agree, Brother David? But he is introducing the fact of, listen, you need to get charged on this idea or challenge on this idea of service. He's challenging them. What does that mean to us of this challenge? Well, I think it should, like the other church Sunday, I preached this, and I've seen this a lot of churches. Now, it's not here, but there's churches that when you come in, be a visitor. I've been to church. Have you been to churches that nobody comes and shakes your hand? Isn't that kind of a weird feeling, coming from this church that everybody shakes your hand, to going to church and nobody shakes your hand? I'm telling you, even though maybe it's not a needful message, I think it is a needful message, but we are serving here, but I'm just telling you, this is not a norm in a lot of churches. There was a poll that said only 10%, I don't know how accurate this poll is, but 10% of church people serve. And 50% people don't want nothing to do with it. Now, I know how accurate it is, but I'm telling you, people's heart of service is not really, it's not a big deal, because people are too much serving themselves. Too much looking to themselves. Philippians 2, I love it when it says you need to get your eyes off yourself and you need to look to others. The disciples didn't get it here. Jesus died. In Acts chapter 1, you'll see that actually it's a kind of a pickup from Luke. And Jesus spends 40 more days and he encourages his disciples again. But then he tells them to go to Jerusalem and he says, wait for the promise. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then as he's going up, they're gazing, they're standing there, and the angel in the white apparel says, what are you standing there gazing for? You need to, as he goes up, he's going to come back down. It was kind of like a little shocker, and guess what they did? They went, I think, back to this place here, and they waited for 10 days. What do? Did they twiddle their thumbs? Did they go do their own thing? No, they had a prayer meeting. There was 120 of them. They had a prayer meeting. Peter gets up and he preaches an awesome message. Preaches about Judas and that his guts was poured out into this potter's land. I mean, he just preached. I'm pretty sure they were singing. They were in unity. And I'm going to tell you, they were serving. They were active. And then the Holy Spirit came down. Peter gets up. He preaches a wonderful message. I mean, 4,000 people get saved. And if you read that chapter, if you don't get encouraged, this church went crazy for the Lord. I mean, people were selling their lands. They were giving their money. The apostles were teaching, and they were just like taking it in. This church was being busy. They were actively serving. Hey, I'm telling you, Peter didn't get it then, but he got it. Amen. And I think that we need to, I know I didn't do a great job preaching this message, but just get this. We need to be servants for the Lord and be excited and doing it. Because our Lord Jesus Christ gave us an example to follow. And I'm going to tell you, we're not on our own. We got the Holy Spirit that's moving in us, and he wants to work through this church. And I'm excited to be a part of this church, but we need to make sure that we stay revived in this area of service. I hope that we can be challenged to serve. Jesus was the greatest servant of all. The example that he portrayed is an example of true divine love. As we serve, just like Brother Dawson preached about giving, you can give and not be right with the Lord, right? And you can also serve and not be right with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, if we follow that principle, I think we're going to be so motivated in every person that we interact with. Our neighbors, our work, I mean, Brother Chaz was telling me he was talking to somebody about tongues. That's awesome. I think everybody should speak in tongues. No, I'm joking. testimonies of this church and people, and I'm not going to keep on just talking about different people, but I'm telling you all, I know that Brother David is a witness at his work. I know Miss Dottie is a witness everywhere we go. Everybody, we are witnesses. Amen. We're busy, but we need to remember, I'm telling you, we're human just like the disciples were. And if they thought they were great, do you think that we can get into a place that we start getting our eyes on ourselves and then we stop really serving? I mean, I want to encourage this church that any opportunity that we can get involved. And I know, again, I know we're a busy church, but there's a lot of different activities that I think more people can sign up for. I think, you know, I'm just asking the Lord to move in your heart in this area of being challenged to serve. But it's not just serving God. The whole key is serving what? One another. It's serving one another. Let's all stand. And I will say this that I didn't mention. It says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. There is a peace and a joy of serving. And I'm going to tell you, after the vacation Bible school, it was a busy week. But when we all got done, the next Sunday or Wednesday, when people started testifying, it's because you were happy in your service. Reflecting on seeing kids enjoy hearing about the Lord, and even I think we had one or two get saved maybe. There is happiness, there is joy when we serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you so much, and I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for the example of your Son, and I pray that we would truly desire to be diligent in our service. Help us to be faithful. Thank you, Lord, for working in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.